Last Sunday's sermon, Jesus stood in front of his disciples for the last time and he said, "In a few days you will experience Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when you do, I want you to be witnesses throughout all the earth." Now please note that Jesus used the word witnesses. That was very intentional, and I will come back to that later in the sermon. "In a few days you will all experience Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and when you do, I want you to be my witnesses in the world." And with that, Jesus was lifted up and disappeared in a cloud. And so it happened, his prediction came true, as we heard in our first reading for this morning, the story of Pentecost, the birthday of the Christian church. The day there was fire and wind, which is why to this day we put candles on our birthday cakes and blow them out with a mighty breath. Pentecost today, when ordinary people experienced the life breath of God and it literally blew them away. A breath of fresh air that was so energizing and freeing and joyful that the other people watching them, the spectators, thought they were all drunk. And they were. They were punch drunk, not on alcoholic spirits, rather on the Holy Spirit with a capital S. Now, I'm guessing that's what people thought when they heard the prophet Ezekiel fire off our second reading for this morning about the dry bones. I'm guessing hearing that and the excitement in his voice, those spectators said, "This guy sounds like he's drunk," which is why I love this reading. And I love reading it. And what a perfect passage for Center Church on the Green at Pentecost. A perfect passage for Center Church because we literally have bones in the basement. Listen again, O mortals, for God's word to you. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to the bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And I prophesied, and suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. Ah, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. Then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds of the earth and breathe on the slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Okay, so what's going on here? Well, first a little history. Israel was in exile. Their temple was destroyed. Their religion had dried up. They had no vision. They saw no way forward. Bottom line, it all seemed hopeless as a valley of dry bones. And I would suggest to you this morning, that is the feeling in many, many churches today. Prior to COVID, religion had already been declining for 20 years, and we knew that it was happening. And people even told us why they were done with church. They looked us in the eye and they said, "The truth is, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." So what does that mean? What did it mean then and what does it mean now? I've been thinking about it all week long. And I think when someone says they are spiritual but not religious, they are saying that organized religion feels dead to them. Yeah, we got that part. We got that loud and clear 20 years ago. But I'm not sure we totally listened to the other half of what they were saying. When people say they are spiritual but not religious, they are also saying that they crave a religion that nurtures the spirit, a religion that enlivens them, a religion that gives them a vision for themselves and their world, a religion that brings people together, a religion that rattles them awake, a religion that lifts them up and sets them free to be the person and the church God is calling them to be. People have been saying it for years, "I'm spiritual but not religious. And then along came COVID-19, and COVID knocked religion to its knees. And now, let's be honest, it feels like a valley of dry bones. So what do we do, O fellow mortals? Well, I think we begin by honestly asking the same question that God asked the prophet. It's metaphor, of course. O mortal, can these bones live? So the answer is no to the bones in the basement. However, metaphorically speaking, the answer is yes to the bones in the pews, and yes to the bones that are no longer in the pews. O mortal, can these bones live? Yes, they can. But how? By doing what God told the prophet to do. We, meaning you and me, need to take a deep breath and prophesy. We need to breathe out a breath of fresh air, a new message, and a new vision to all the people out there, young and old, whose religion has dried up. So how do we do it? Jesus told us plainly last week when he said, in a few days you will experience Pentecost, and when you do, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses throughout the world. Note Jesus used the word witness and not spectator. Go out into the world and be my witnesses. Go out there and be a witness to a religion that creates a space for the Spirit of God in people's lives. A spirit that is not dried up and slowed down, but alive and moving. A spirit so liberating that it can make old bones rattle with new life. A spirit so energizing that it brings people back to church body to body and bone to bone. A spirit so moving that it causes old bones sitting for years in pews as spectators to stand up and witness, to stand up and prophesy, even if they appear crazy drunk. Because they are. Because they are punch drunk on the Spirit with a capital S. My proposal this morning: Pentecost is not just about the birthday of the Christian church. Rather, it is also about the rebirth of the Christian church, including Center Church. And I'm pleased to report this morning that that is beginning to happen. Over the last 2 years, we have spent a lot of time and money reviving these old bones, the old bones of this beautiful church, and it looks wonderful. But now, O mortals, we need to make some noise. We need to make this old place rattle with life and rattle with spirit. As many of you know, my day off is Monday. And every Monday for the past few weeks, I have been working on my beautiful old sailboat. Her name is Grace. My daughter named her when she was 12 years old. We were having a hard time deciding on a name. And one Sunday morning in church, the closing hymn was Amazing Grace. So as we were walking home, Sophie looked up at us and said, "Let's name our boat Grace." "Why?" I asked her. To which she replied, "It's in the song, Dad, and Grace will lead me home." Grace is 40 years old. That's pretty old for a sailboat. But as they say, she has really good bones. So every Monday, I have been painting and varnishing and waxing and working on her diesel engine. And just like this old church, all the work is paid off. She looks beautiful resting there in my driveway. Ah. But sailboats are meant to sail. O mortal, can this boat sail? You know, O Lord. O mortal, can this church sail? You know, O Lord. Did you know that sailboats and churches have three things in common? First, they both have pulpits. Second, they are both totally dependent on a higher power to make them alive, to get them moving. Totally dependent on wind or breath, which are one and the same word in the Hebrew language. And finally, and I think really importantly, sailboats need crew. That would be all of you. The one in the pulpit cannot do all the work, cannot do all the witnessing. I need you, all of you. That's because church is not a spectator sport. Rather, a church a la Jesus is a witnessing people. And one of the ways Center Church will be doing this will take place on Sunday, August 6th, one of the days we will be witnessing. On that day, 100 teenagers, Christians, Muslims, and Jewish, will gather on the New Haven Green right in front of this church. The movement is called Wage Peace, a day when kids from very different backgrounds and religions will do service projects together all over New Haven and right out in front on the green. A way for them to learn how to coexist in a crazy, divided world. And one of my favorite projects is that they will literally be beating old guns into garden tools. They're going to be out there with hammers beating old guns into garden tools. Christians, Muslims, and Jewish teenagers. O mortal, who will feed these teenagers? You know, Lord. Center Church will be feeding them, all of them, including all the people there, over 200 people. And how will Center Church be doing that? Center Church hired the Sanctuary Kitchen to cater a meal on the green that is culturally inclusive. Yet another way for those kids to taste and live and believe and get along with a different culture. So thank you, Council, for voting that through. We need to witness more. That's a one way to do it, but that's not all. Beginning this fall, Center Church crew will gather on two Sundays after the service, and we will do some visioning about the future. In nautical terms, we will gather together and do some charting for the future. In the words of our first reading, it will be a time where God's sons and daughters will come together bone to bone and prophesy. A time when the younger among us will see visions, and the older among us will dream dreams. A time when we will unfurl the sails of our souls and breathe new life into this old church. A time for us to sail gracefully forward into the future together.